I be filled with Spirit. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this morning. God, I pray for the pastor. As we know right now, he wished he was right here preaching your word. God, I pray that you'd be with me this morning, that I may not get in the way, but give the word as you've given it to me. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, there in verse 15, we're going to look at a very familiar passage, but I do want to look at it in a little bit of a different light. And why must you be filled with the Spirit? So if you're there in Ephesians chapter 5, let's pick up in verse 15. And it says here, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And what is the will of the Lord? We're going to get to it in verse 18 here. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." Filled with the Spirit. Now, I do want to bring up as we get started here, Daryl came up to me and said, like old Tom Farrell, he's going to give me some amens and some shout-outs, so I'll be looking for that. And my dad said, "This is all well and good this morning, but at 12 o'clock, we got to go." So those are the two things we're working with. But anyways, Ephesians chapter 5. Right here is a very interesting comment, a very interesting statement, because it's both a comparative statement and it's a contrasting statement. It says, "Be ye not drunk with wine, but be filled with Spirit." So what is the comparative statement here? It's the, as alcohol influences a person, therefore as the Holy Spirit influences a person. So the comparative is, as alcohol, don't be drunk with wine, don't be under the influence of alcohol, that comparativeness to being under the influence of the Holy Spirit in the Christian walk. So what's the contrasting statement? Be not drunk with wine. Be not be under the influence of alcohol. Rather, opposite, be filled with the Spirit. So it's a comparative and a contrasting statement. So what is being filled with the Spirit? I've heard many analogies and illustrations, and some of you may have, and some of you would have probably heard it's like a cup. And someone just keeps filling it up. And like the Christian life, as you're walking around, you're depleting out your Spirit-filled life, you ask the Holy Spirit to come in and fill you back up. Well, that's an illustration, but I don't think that's what that's talking about here. And it's not a very good illustration. To me, more, it's like this. Any of y'all big Cal Ripken fans from the 80s and 90s? All right, we got five. All right, Cal Ripken was the man. Now, Cal Ripken was known for his fielding abilities. He was not the greatest hitter in the world, but he was a great shortstop and a great third baseman. So at a year when he would win the Golden Glove Award, would they say, "You know what, Cal Ripken, he has got a great Rollins glove. Everybody needs to get a glove like Cal Ripken, because if they have that type of glove, they'll be a Golden Glove winner." It's the glove, right? No, it's not the glove. It's the hand that's in the glove that made the glove so great. So just like the Holy Spirit being filled, being dwelt with and indwelled and filled with the Holy Spirit, it's more of likened, if you're a pictured person here, of our life as the glove. And just like Cal Ripken in between innings would run out to shortstop, he'd put his hand in that, he would fill that glove. God wants to put his hand in our life and fill us with the Holy Spirit, to be under the complete control and influence of the Holy Spirit, just like that glove is under the complete influence and control of the baseball player. The Spirit filled is the under the influence and complete control of something. And for us, it's to be the Spirit of God, not anything else, and certainly not under the influence of alcohol. So with that in mind, I want to get a little illustration here. As we're pulling this together, as we're beginning to understand what being Spirit filled is, I want you to imagine a man. And this man has lived in a very secluded life, has not really seen or experienced a lot of things. So much so that he goes out and he has a lot of money and he buys him a brand new Corvette. Now, he's never driven before. He's never had an automobile. And he doesn't even realize the Corvette has an engine. The reason he bought it was just so pretty. And he's so proud of this car, he invites friends over to see it. And it's a beautiful paint job, soft leather seats. Great radio, smells good, got that new car smell inside of it. But everywhere he goes, he gets out and he pushes this car because he doesn't understand there's an engine in the vehicle. And where he's proud of the automobile, in some ways, he secretly wishes he didn't have it. He wished that he never had bought it. And rather than being a blessing to him, this car has become a burden to him. And rather than the car carrying him, he has to push the car. But one day, one of his friends comes over and says, "Hey, man, why are you walking around pushing your Corvette?" The guy's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Look, man, come here. I want to show you something." He goes over, you see that beside the steering column? Yeah, that's an ignition. You got to turn that thing. Guy sits over there and he flips the switch and boom, starts up. And he walks him around the front, pulls the hood up. Look in there, man. You see that? That's a V8 engine. You got over 500 horsepower in this car. You don't need to push this car. It's got an engine in it. Guy's like, man, this thing's great. He's like, come on, I ain't done yet. Get in the seat. Guy gets in the seat and he goes around. He said, put your foot on the brake. Pull that lever back to drive. Guy puts it back. He said, hit the accelerator. Bam! 0-60 in 4.5 seconds. The guy's like, man, this is wonderful. Man, this is great. Man, I love my car. It was a burden to me yesterday, but this car is awesome. You say, well, Robbie, that's kind of foolish. You're right. You say, well, Robbie, that guy's an idiot. Might be. But he's only foolish as the foolishness of a Christian living without the spirit-filled life of that engine within them that they have. Understanding the power of the Holy Spirit. Many believers don't understand that when God saved them, God put an engine in their salvation, and that engine is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the dynamism and the power of our Christian life, and many people are somewhat proud of their Christianity, but it's almost a burden to them. Rather than carrying them, they are pushing it. And many of you are just grinding out this matter of being a Christian. Because you've not made the discovery of the wonderful spirit-filled life. Ephesians 5:18, when we begin to look at verse 18 in specific here, I want you to make a note, and if you take notes in your Bible, you're taking notes this morning. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, writes this statement, and it's more than a statement. It's a command by Almighty God to be filled with the Spirit. It's important. It's critical to understand in the spiritual life of the rest of this Bible that right here, it's a statement. And after this, Paul is going to point out certain things in a Christian life that must be present, that must be there, that must be victorious in our life to have a victorious walk. But they will not be if you're not Spirit-filled. He says, and do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. It's the thing I want you to understand here. So when you're Spirit-filled, it turns drudgery into dynamicism, power. And instead of your Christianity being a burden, it will become an empowering blessing to you once you understand the Spirit-filled life. So, let's look at the number one reason to be Spirit-filled. The number one reason why you should be Spirit-filled is right here. Number one is your obedience. Your obedience. Ephesians 5:18 again says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with Spirit. It's a command. And as my good buddy Adrian Rogers liked to say, it's no stammer and no stutter. It's a commandment. It's not a request or a suggestion, but it's a command to obey, and it's giving here to Christians to obey to have the victorious life that we should have. Let me give you an example of why it's so important to be Spirit-filled. Suppose Pastor were to stagger up to the pulpit next Sunday. He's staggering, he's slurring, his hair is all disheveled, his jacket's all out of place, and somebody says, man, Pastor is sick. Mr. Schultz comes around, Pastor, look, we just finished a song, we get ready for the message, and Pastor ain't sick, Pastor's drunk. You say, what would the church do? I'd say there'd be an emergency meeting. People would be talking, calling meetings, action be taken, set up committees, word get out, people be on Facebook, be the trending topic of Powhatan on Twitter within 10 minutes. It'd be a big deal, would it not? Well, let me ask you this. Say The Bible says that you're not to be drunk with wine, but in the same breath of saying not to be drunk with wine, it says to be filled with the Spirit. So same scenario here. Would it be a greater sin for the pastor to show up not filled with the Spirit than it would for him to be drunk with wine? Now look, it says be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. What would be worse? For the pastor to show up drunk with wine, wearing his excess, and people would be upset, it'd be a big deal, we would be hurt, betrayed, it'd be very apparent. Everybody would be talking about it. It'd be an embarrassment to the church. Or would it be worse for him to show up and preach a message not filled with the Spirit? Let me ask you this. If he's filled with the Spirit, would he ever show up to church drunk with wine. But if he showed up not filled with the Spirit, would there be an uproar? Would there be people who would be upset? Would we call a committee meeting? Would that be the trending topic on Twitter? No. But there's churches this morning filled in America with people speaking, and they're not filled with the Spirit. And it's not a big deal. And we can see it. You may say, no, well, I think it'd be worse for him to be drunk with wine. It'd be very apparent. The Bible teaches that the sin of omission is greater than the sin of commission. Omission is dealing with doing something that or not doing something you should do, and commission is obviously doing something that you shouldn't do. And it would be a greater sin to fail to do what you ought to do than to not do what you should do. James 4:17 teaches this principle. The matter of the fact is, if you do what you ought to do, you cannot do what you shouldn't do, because you can only do one thing at a time. If you're doing, and pastor's doing what he ought to be doing, and I say, pastor, it's everybody in here, if we're doing what we should be doing, and what we should be doing here is being filled with the Spirit, we can't be doing what we shouldn't be doing. The act of omission is worse than the act of commission, because you can only do one thing at a time. A man who is Spirit-filled would never be drunk. Never. Or he wouldn't be Spirit-filled. However, you can be sober and not Spirit-filled. So let's have a quick language lesson of looking at where we're seeing here in the Bible in verse 18 of being filled with Spirit. If you've got your Bible and you make notes, I like verse 18, I would put a square or a circle around be filled in verse 18. Be filled. What does that mean? What is the context? Do we have any English language majors in here? No, nobody likes English language. I want to look here now at the word being be filled in the original text of what it means in the language as we're focused on be filled. Number one, as you look at be filled, in the original context, as the English language would say, it's in the imperative mood. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It's written in the imperative mood. What's imperative mood mean? Well, I know that Stanley wants him a new 250, souped-up truck with a diesel engine, moonroof, and leather seats, and that about covered? That's about. And when he's talking to Shelby about it, and she's like, I don't think we really need that. We don't have horse trailers, and we're not... Stanley's like, look, it's imperative that I have his truck. It's imperative. It's absolutely necessary. You can't do without it. And right here, being be filled with the Spirit is imperative, Paul is saying. It's not a choice. It's not an option. If you're going to walk the Christian walk and live the Christian life that you ought to live, it's imperative to be filled with the Spirit. Right here where it talks about in verse 18 about why we need to and commanding us to be filled with the Spirit, you start reading down through here, it's telling you why you need to be filled with the Spirit. In verse 19, it's talking about our worship life. And Paul is saying through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, look, you can't worship God the way God intended you to worship Him without being Spirit-filled. Y'all going to think I've been drinking. Verse 22, right here it talks about wives submitting to your husbands. And later on, I believe it's in verse 25, and the husband is to love his wife. Women, how are you going to be the wife you ought to be in submitting to your husband? And men, how are you going to love your wife as Christ loved the church apart from being Spirit-filled? It's not going to happen. You start looking at how Christ loved the church, that He died for us. He loved us sacrificially, givingly, and all these things. How are you going to love your wife like that all the time? Men, you can't do it apart from being Spirit-filled. And wife, how are you going to submit to your husband and submit to him as Christ submitted to the Lord, God, to come down and die on the cross for our sins? How are you going to submit to your husband that way? Through your own power? You can't do it apart from being filled with the Spirit. There in chapter 6, verse 5, it's still under the context of being filled with the Spirit. It's dealing there with servants, and it's got the understanding of the employee-employer relationship and how the employee is to serve the employer as we would serve Christ. How are you going to serve your employer as Christ, apart from being Spirit-filled? You can't do it. You can't do it. And look there in verse 12 in chapter 6. It's talking about we're in a war and our war life. It mentioned this morning that federal government's passing to where they're going to try to force all the states to recognize same-sex marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, the artillery of hell is pointed towards your house and Satan's behind the trigger. How are you going to fight this? How are you going to raise your children the way they ought to be raised? How are you going to teach them what the Word of God says and go out and live the victorious life in the battle that we have and with the influence that around us with music and television and iPhones and tablets and computers? How are we going to do this? Being Spirit-filled is the only way you're going to do it. Look there in verse 19 of chapter 6. Still in the context of why we need to be Spirit-filled, it talks about, and for me that utterance may be given that I may open my mouth boldly, being a witness for God. How are you going to be the correct witness, boldly witnessing to others, apart from being Spirit-filled? You can't do it. All of this is in the context of when you read verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, be ye being filled with the Spirit. It's imperative. Why? Because Paul's getting ready to lay out the victorious Christian life of how we need to live. And apart from being Spirit-filled, you will fail at the rest of them. So how are we going to live the life? It's imperative because we're going to live the life through being a Spirit-filled Christian. That's how. So not only in our little language lesson of being filled, number one, Paul points out, it's imperative. Number two, it's in the present tense. It doesn't say that you need to get filled with the Spirit. It doesn't say, are you filled? It says, be filled. Are you filled with the Spirit? Present tense. My question to you right now is, right now, as you sit here this morning, are you filled under the influence and complete control of the Holy Spirit? I'll have to admit, this morning, Pastor called me at 7:15. I was a little taken off. I didn't know what he wanted. I was like, did it snow? We got to clear the sidewalks or something? I didn't. Anyways, he asked me if I would come do the lesson this morning. I said, yes, sir. And, of course, a little apprehension, like, what am I going to talk about? But sadly to say, I got up and I went upstairs, and for the next 2 hours, I prepared this lesson. And I made sure my life was right. And the sad thing is, on a normal Sunday, would I have done that? I should have. Just because I'm up here standing talking doesn't mean any difference from me sitting there. It's all active participation of worshiping God. Amen. Unfortunately, there's many times on a Sunday morning, we all get up. It's Sunday morning. What we do? We're going to church. I'm running around about losing my religion, trying to get Jackson to put his socks on instead of getting it. And I'm going around talking. We're getting ready. Laura's running around. We're getting in the car. We rush here. You sit down. You're like, whew, let's go. And we have not done one thing to prepare to make sure that we are right now filled with the Spirit as we worship God. Because we can't worship Him any other way. It's not the worship that He wants. It literally reads, and I've written in my Bible beside the text here, beside be filled, I got a little line there. It says literally, be being filled. That's what it literally is saying there. Be continuously being filled. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but right now. Being filled with the Spirit. Tonight, you go to bed, you're to be filled with the Spirit. Tomorrow morning, you wake up, you're going to work. You're to be filled with the Spirit. An employee walks up, a co-worker you know is not saved. Right when you're witnessing him, you're to be filled with the Spirit. All the time, being ready to serve Christ. Be ye being filled with the Spirit. So it's in the imperative mood. It's imperative we be filled with the Spirit. It's in the present tense. Be ye being filled right now, we are to be filled with the Spirit. Not on Sundays, not Sunday nights, not on Wednesdays, not every other week, not in the wintertime, not the summertime, all the time. And then it's also, thirdly, plural in number. Plural in number. So it's not just imperative, it's not just present tense, but it's plural in number. Be filled, all of us, plural, in the Spirit. The command is not just to pastors, although it definitely is. It's not just to evangelists, but it definitely directed towards them. It's not just to Bible teachers, although they need to be Spirit-filled, but it's to each one of us. Everybody that claims the name of God, says that they're saved, is to be filled with the Spirit. This command is directed towards you. No Christian has the market on being filled with the Spirit. It's directed towards all of us. There are some charismatic churches that will talk, and I don't believe everything this guy says, but there's a guy named Hank Hanegram. Everybody heard him on the Truth Network. Comes on like 6 o'clock. He answers questions. He's called the Bible Answer Man. He's got some strange views on end-time prophecy, but a lot of his biblical theology is pretty good. He gets a lot of questions from men and women, from obviously evangelical churches, and they're talking about being spirit-filled, and what do they associate that with? Tongues. All right, right here is the what we need and understand, and is directed towards all of us about being spirit-filled. And you read on down through the passage, the rest of Ephesians, it's all talking about spirit-filled. Tongues is not within 100 miles of this passage. Amen. Not there. It doesn't say, be filled with the Spirit, do all this, and by the way, you know you're filled with the Spirit, you're speaking in tongues. It's not there. It's plural in number, it's not all, but also this charismatic church is only certain people are filled with the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, right here it says, be ye you, believer of Jesus Christ, you be filled with the Spirit. Not just people that speak in tongues. They took that passage and just twisted it all up. It's plural in number. All of us are to be filled with the Spirit. So it's imperative. It's absolutely necessary. It's in the present tense. We need to be filled with the Spirit now, and it blew out, yes, it applies to me. Fourth and last, it's in the passive voice. It's in the passive voice. That means we are acted upon to be filled with the Spirit. It's something that, it's not something we attain or work for, as the charismatics would say. You continue to work, you put your time in, you keep coming to church, you become more and more spiritual, and you work towards, and you become spiritual, and then I'll give you that gift of tongues. That's not what it's talking about. It's something that is we are acted upon, that we don't earn it. It's a gift of from God, just like salvation. It is the Spirit of God that fills us, and the Lord longs to fill every believer. You say, well, how do I do that? You must simply be yielded vessel to God. God, be under the complete control. Everything I do, everything I say, everything I act, every aspect of my life is under the complete submission of God and His teaching. That's spirit-filled. We're not talking about mystical stuff here. So let me ask you a personal question, if I might. If you did an honest evaluation of yourself right now, at this moment, are you spirit-filled right now? Can you say, Robbie, right now, I'm under the complete control and influence of God. Right now, I know it's imperative. It applies to all. And it's free to all. And right now, I'm spirit-filled. Is every part of your life under the complete submission to God? Let me ask you a couple areas I thought about. Your social life. When you leave these doors, whether it's at work or after work, places you go, places you see, people you talk to, is it under the influence and control of God? Are you spirit-filled? Are you doing and acting and saying what God wants you to say? How about your music life? I hit the teens with this all the time, so I'll hit the adults with it too. I know some teens got some stuff on there. By the way, parents, you ought to be able to walk up to that phone or iPad and say, let me see it. Because I can tell you, on teen outings, where's Deborah at? Deborah not here? Need some backup. There's stuff on there that a spirit-filled Christian should not have. And dad, spirit-filled father, being a parent, you need to know what they're listening to, and it's not what God wants them to listen to. I can tell you right now. But mom and dad, what's in your CD player right now if we walked out here and had people pull up, cut the radio on, and listen? Would you be like, oh, man. Spirit-filled Christian. How about TV? What do you watch? Movies. What DVDs do you have beside your television that you watch? Obviously, I got 2 small kids, Leah and Jackson, and we were there watching TV the other night, and I walk around, and the TV's just on half the time. And I see some guy kissing on some dude's arm, and it wasn't because he had a boo-boo on him. And Leah's like, Daddy, what are they doing? I said, I don't know, honey, and I'm turning it. Now, this is regular network TV. Hey, if our kids shouldn't see it, we shouldn't be watching it either. Amen. And if there's stuff that you'd watch or listen to because the kids go to bed, you probably don't need to be looking at it. I don't have cable. One of the reasons is I'm too cheap to pay for it. But another reason is there ain't much fit to watch on there. Now, obviously, there's some sports and some good stuff. That's nothing wrong with it. But there's a lot of trash that comes along with it, too. Are you spirit-filled in your television viewing life? How about computer, internet usage, what you look at, YouTube, other video sites? I work in our high-tech crime section, and we're working cases, and we'll obtain a search warrant, and we'll grab somebody's phone or computer. Sometimes there are people that say they go to church, Christian people, and we can see everything that's been done on this phone and everything that's been looked at on that computer, and you wouldn't think they were a Christian. Pornography, all kinds of stuff. Your church life, you just coming through the motions this morning, or you worshiping God? Spirit-filled. Financial life. We looked at your check register. Are you spirit-filled? Are you under the complete control and influence of God where your money goes? Mom and dad parent life, we just brought that up. Are you the parents you ought to be? Hey, I'm not saying I'm perfect in all these areas. I think about things, and a week will go by, and I have worked and worked and worked, and I won't see Jackson and Leah 10 minutes all during the week, it seems like. But am I the Christian that God wants me to be and the example to my two kids? Our wedded life, right here, talks about it right after you read here in chapter 5, of what the wife and husband relationship ought to be. And in the teens, we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks in the same passage. But am I loving my wife the way Christ loves me? Am I loving her the way Christ loves me? Our communication life, how about your prayer and devotional life? Do you pray to God, and are you spirit-filled, and are you in your Bible the way God wants you to be? The number one reason to be spirit-filled is obedience. And God commands it here, and He doesn't command it just because He's just trying to make our life hard. He knows we cannot live a victorious life apart from being spirit-filled. And if you get the spirit-filled down, all these other things will start to fall in place. You look at them individually, you're like, Robbie, there's no way I can do that. Man, I'd just be a little angel. I can't do it. You're right, you can't do it. That's why Paul said it's imperative. You must. It applies to you, and God will do it for you. But you've got to be spirit-filled to live the life that Christ wants you to live. And lastly, I hadn't mentioned it much, but do you even have the Holy Spirit in your life? You can't do any of this if you've never come to a time and place in your life. You've realized you're lost, that you're a sinner. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. You've come to the place to realize, I'm a sinner. Being a sinner costs. Doing something against God's holy law costs. Forgiveness costs. If I gave you $5 and that you wanted to borrow it, and you came back and was like, hey, I'll pay you that $5 back. I said, don't worry about it. I forgive you for a while. I don't need $5. What did it cost? It cost me $5. God just can't say you're forgiven. It's got to cost something. And the cost was His Son, Jesus Christ. He came and died on the cross. It cost Him everything. And God's willing to give it to you if you'll accept Him as your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, this morning will be a perfect time to do it. So as we close here, right now, are you spirit-filled? The best reason to be in the whole world is God commands it and us to be obedient to His Word. You can't call Him Lord and then tell Him no. Be obedient to God's Word. And also, if you're not saved this morning, let's get saved. Everybody would love for you to come forward. Try to get this right. An invitation was ongoing. And mom and little girl were in the back. A lady stepped out and walked forward and wanted to get saved. A little girl peeked and said, Mama, what's that lady doing? She said, honey, she's going forward to get saved. She said, well, why ain't we all going up? That's a good question. That's a good question. Let's pray, and then Schultz will do a closing song. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You.